Hello and welcome to the Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology's digestion module on healing leaky gut. I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and I'm excited to be here to share with you about a problem that's very common, and you're going to see it in a lot of your clients. And it's going to be a problem that you're going to want to heal because it's at the cornerstone of many other problems that are either systemic or also in the GI tract. Leaky gut is a very common problem that you're going to see in lots of clients and maybe even yourself. And it's something that's very common, it's very widespread, and there's a lot of misunderstanding about how to heal it and actually how long it should take to heal it. So let's get started.
So before we begin, let's just make sure that you're aware that any of the information I'm presenting here is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it's also not medical advice. And when you're presenting to your clients, you need to be really careful and make sure that they are aware that what you're presenting and what I'm presenting here today is intended as a sharing of my knowledge, information, clinical research, and clinical experience over many years. I encourage you, and you should encourage your clients, to make their own healthcare decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. This is especially true for folks who are on any medications. Just want to make sure that the things that we talk about in terms of nutrition are not going to interfere with the protocols.
Healing leaky gut is going to be one of the most important things you will learn to do as a nutritional endocrinology practitioner. Because when the gut is healed, the rest of the body gets healed. And when the gut is leaky, the body has lost the mechanism to be able to filter toxins. Things that belong on the outside then can then get into the inside and wreak havoc in the body. And as a result of leaky gut, there's poor absorption of nutrients, which is going to affect every other part of the body that needs those nutrients. So let's begin by talking about the way that we do it. And the process that I like to use is called the 4R process.
So you've heard me talk about the 4R program before. Remove the irritants, replace what's missing, repair the damage, and re-inoculate with friendly bacteria. The remove is irritants, right? Foods, toxins, organisms. You can't keep rubbing salt into a wound and expecting it to get better because you're also rubbing aloe vera in it. It doesn't work, right? If you keep applying the irritants, even if you're doing the anti-irritants, it's not going to work, right? It's a reductionist approach. We want to be more of a holistic approach. We want to take the big picture approach of really restoring balance to the person. So we're going to remove the toxins, the foods, and the organisms. We're going to replace what's missing. We talked about replacing enzymes. We talked about replacing hydrochloric acid if need be, or triggering our body using the bitters to help it create more of those. You know, increasing the bile salts, the ability of the gallbladder to contract. And then the nutrients, because if you've been in a leaky gut situation, you're getting low on nutrients. Your body is not in the situation where it is able to take in all the nutrients it needs from the food, and you're kind of in limbo here. So you need to put those back in. Those of you who have followed me for a long time, you know, I don't like supplements, but I use them. I mean, it's not that I dislike them, but I prefer to use food and herbs. But there's times when you just absolutely have to give people therapeutic doses of certain nutrients to jumpstart it. My goal is always to be able to get that down to as little as possible and just really be using the foods, the plants. You need to repair the damage and you need to re-inoculate with the friendly bacteria. And you can do them in different orders. This is just the 4 R's. You just need to be doing all of them. So these are the things we're going to be removing. And to you, it might seem obvious. To me, it's like, okay, of course you have to remove that stuff. No big deal, you know, because I haven't eaten any of this stuff for years, but many years, like decades. But for others, you know, they think that having a little alcohol is okay. Having caffeine is okay. And it may be once you're repaired and you're robust and you might be able to handle that just fine occasionally, right? But when you're in a healing state, You have to be strict. I'm really clear on that. And I know it doesn't make me friends sometimes. And some people just say, no, I don't want to work with you because I'm not willing to be that strict. I said, well, that's fine. Choose to live with your pain. Choose to live with your pain. Because I don't know anybody that has a program that allows you to drink beer and eat hot dogs and get well and heal your leaky gut and get your hormones balanced. I don't know. I mean, you see it all the time. People are advertising it all the time. The easy, quick solution. And all you have to do is this. And you can eat whatever you want. It don't work. Nutritionist JJ Ver is advertising her great new book, you know, this groundbreaking new book. Remove these 7 foods and drop 7 pounds in 7 days. And, you know, get rid of all your skin problems, etc. Guess what the 7 foods are? Gluten, dairy, corn, soy, sugar, peanuts, and eggs. The same 7 that I get people to get off of, right? And for some people, it is miraculous like that. It is. And it's really great that she's going mainstream with that concept. Because is it easy? She says it's an easy solution. My experience with people is that it's not easy. That's why not all of you are there yet to be 100% on that. But it works. It's effective. So it may not be easy, but she's telling people it's easy. So maybe they're going to believe it's easy. Maybe I need to start telling people it's easy. It's easy for me. It's very easy for me. Okay? So when you're working with people, it's really learning how to talk their language and explain to them why they have to remove these foods. These foods are destroying your gut, right? You saw the nice smooth gut I showed you. And I recommend you get pictures like this and you show people, whether you're showing them online, because you could do that with Skype, or you could do that with, you know, a conference service like I use, or you could send them a PDF and say, open this up while we speak because I want to explain something to you. And if you're doing it in your office, I always would have a little binder, a folder with the flip charts. And I just go through it and I say, look, this is the thing. You've been sick for this long. This is what's happening. You're out of balance. This is what's happening. I'd show them pictures. And then I say, what do you want? Do you want to continue with your habits? Do you want to continue to eat hot dogs and drink beer and have headaches and embarrassing gas and be 50 pounds overweight? Do you want to continue that? Or do you want to get rid of that weight? And do you want to feel better and get rid of your headaches? Because you can't have both. You can't have both. You know, I kind of made that offer to my brother-in-law when he got cancer. I said, this is what you need to do. And I referred him to Dr. Lode in Arizona and said, this is what you need to do. This is your hope. This is your chance. It's not a hope. It's a really good chance. And he goes, I don't want to change my diet. And so he ended up going with the medicals and on the IVs and not getting to eat anyway and dying. So you can't have it both, right? You can't have all your vices and all your wonderful foods that you love that you don't want to get rid of and have good health. I believe they're mutually exclusive. I believe they're mutually exclusive. So, and that's the message you want to get across to people in a really loving, kind, caring way. It may not be easy when they see this list and they go, you mean I have to get rid of all that? And, you know, when I do it with people in the groups even, you know, it's now, okay, we're going to spread it out over here. You have a month to gradually taper off of this stuff. If you want results sooner, don't take a month to get off of this stuff. Do it now. Make that decision. But if you don't mind waiting and it's much easier to just gradually do it, but if somebody says, I have cancer, or I have doubled over pain, and I have ulcerative colitis, and I'm bleeding, you can't afford to say, I'm going to take a month to get off of this stuff. Because you got to get that under control now, because you're at really high risk with that. You know, not only of developing anemia and things from losing all that blood, but of developing cancer, colon cancer, very, very tightly connected. So you know these things. I don't have to read through these. I don't have to explain the whys. You know, the allergens. You're going to get off of them, right? You got to get off the sugar, the immune system. You got to be able to heal. We're trying to heal. And we can't be healing unless we remove. We can't do repair unless we also do remove. And that's what so many people want to do. They want to repair. And that's why I see them after a year and a half of trying to get rid of their leaky gut, because they haven't done the remove. The remove is critical, super, super critical. And I should add to the remove is cortisol spikes, cortisol addiction, because it's those cortisol spikes that are also damaging. So that stress, being addicted to your own adrenaline. I, interestingly enough, met a woman at a conference, and she came up to me. She said, "Oh, I went to your website. No, I've got to talk to you. I have this book. Here's my book. Take my book." And it's called The Confessions of an Adrenaline Addict. And it's like, you know, people are addicted to their own adrenaline. And you get in the fast lane, and you're eating all the fast food. And you're addicted to your adrenaline. And your adrenaline is hurting you. It's hurting you, as are all of these. So these are the foods that could hurt your gut. They're the same ones that I said eliminate, right? They hurt you. They hurt you. These are what's hurting your gut. And I know you like to stop at, you know, not you personally, but I'm saying this to the generic you. You might want to stop at Starbucks and have that cup of coffee. And I keep going through this with people, you know, but I'm on vacation, or I'm going to this person's house, and I've got to be, you know, and I've got to, I said, you just have to decide what's more important, you know, is having that cup of coffee at Starbucks or having your health back. If you're complaining about your energy, but you still have some of these bad habits, let's get them under control before you start looking for the zebras. And for those of you who don't remember what that is, it's when you hear hoofbeats, think horses, not zebras. But we keep looking for the zebras when the horses are right in front of our face. We got to clean up the act. And this is the message that I am so keenly, profoundly connected to you getting across to the people you work with. There needs to be more of us doing this, because there's a lot of people out there doing functional medicine. There's a lot of people out there that know the herbs to take for a leaky gut. But the difference is, you are going to teach them how to get their diet in order, how to get off of the crap and onto a lovingly embracing all the wonderful foods that are on the other side of this. So, elimination diet. You're going to put the people on an elimination diet. You'll have all the information about how to put people on an elimination diet. As long as you're part of my program and as long as you maintain your certification after the program, you're welcome to use the materials that I've given you that I specifically say you can use this. I'm not saying you can, you know, give people my ebooks that I charge for, but the pieces that I've put in the program, the little mini ebooks, you got to have a treasure trove of information here that you can just take and utilize. You have a treasure trove. And you can just do it. And it took me days to put all this stuff together, you know, literally. And when I was first in practice and I had to, you know, oh, I have to give this person this handout or that handout, to have had something there that I could have just either tweaked or just used as is would have been a godsend. So yeah, you teach them about elimination diet. What I would recommend is that you have a little packet, you know, a little handout that just describes what an elimination diet is, why they're doing it, and how to do it. And you've got all that information. I've given it to you. And the symptoms of gluten intolerance, it's strikingly similar to the symptoms of what? Leaky gut, right? Symptoms of gluten intolerance. You can have weight gain or weight loss. A lot of people gain weight because they get so inflamed, but a lot of people lose weight because they everything goes through them. The people with the true celiac end up losing weight. Nutritional deficiencies. Due to malabsorption, because you just can't absorb your stuff because your gut is too inflamed to do it. Gastrointestinal problems, bloating, pain, gas, constipation, diarrhea. Sound familiar? Fat in your stools due to poor digestion. Aching joints, depression, eczema, headaches, exhaustion. When I was doing my paper on the neurodevelopmental effects of gluten on kids, I was looking for Asperger's and autism and ADD and writing about that. And I just found this tons of research, and I just collected all the papers, depression and eczema and exhaustion. And it just really convinced me at the time, because I wasn't gluten-free at the time. I wasn't gluten-free, but I was wheat-free, and I only did sprouted kamut and sprouted spelt was all I would do that was had gluten in it, or and rye. And I would do these sprouted things and make breads in my dehydrator. And I just stopped doing it. I didn't say, oh, you better stop doing it. Oh, this is going to be hard. It was like as if that something turned on in me that was an aversion to it. I just didn't want it. After seeing the way it affects all over the place, the way it affects your brain, the way it can create early onset of Alzheimer's, Parkinson's type syndromes, also found out well after the fact, infertility, menstrual, irregular menstrual cycle, and miscarriage. And I'd had several miscarriages. And I wasn't gluten-free. So, who knows what might have been had that not happened had I known at that time. Don't you want to save people from that? You know, don't you think that a woman who's pregnant or wanting to be pregnant and is not willing to go gluten-free needs to have that information? You know, that there's a big link with miscarriage. Link with miscarriage. Cramps and tingling and numbness and tingling. There were so many neurologic things related. And I discovered that back in the 1930s, there was a doctor who was researching this and discovered the neurologic connection back in the 1930s. Didn't get well publicized, but it's there. It's in the medical literature. And then slow infant and child growth, you know, that's the obvious stuff. That's what people look for celiac, although a lot of doctors still miss it. Even your dental health, it's there. So gluten intolerance, you got to get them off gluten. If any of your clients come in with any problems, seriously, if they're there to see you because of a problem versus I just wanted to see you because I want you to tell me what to eat to be optimally healthy for the rest of my life, and I already am, then everybody should be at least going off of gluten for 6 weeks, at least, just to check it out. But I have found that in working with people, almost everybody that has a health problem has gluten intolerance. It's not 100%, but it's close. It's 90-something percent, 99%.
Elimination and provocation is super, super important for healing the leaky gut. And it's really important that you master this process, that you learn and understand how to eliminate the suspicious and common allergens and remove them from the diet for a long enough period of time for people to be able to notice a difference. And then how to reintroduce those things in a very systematic manner in high enough doses that they'll get some sort of reaction if they have a challenge with it. And then finally, the reintroduction is so super important in knowing how to do it. So I've given you some resources, and there's a link on the page with this video, and you feel free to use my stuff as guidelines. Feel free to use any of the forms and checklists and things that we've put into the Done For You section, or create your own just based on what I've given you. It's taken me many, 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 many years to put all this stuff together and to have a systematic approach, and I'm happy to share that with you as part of the program, and you have access to it as long as you're in the program, and then after the program's over, as long as you maintain your certification, you will continue to have access to all of that.
So I've included sporadically throughout this presentation some gut healing foods that I've created. This is a gut healing porridge, and it's based on a combination of the work with gluten intolerance and the work with demulcents and healing the leaky gut. But it's also, I looked at the specific carbohydrate diet and the GAPS diet. And well, I don't agree with a lot of the foods they do include, because they include a lot of animal products and a lot of dairy and things like that and eggs. And they still include some refined foods, but they are specifically foods that don't have disaccharides in them. They're supposed to stay away from anything with a disaccharide in it. And so they've got this long list. So I thought, okay, I'll make something up from there. And so they gave me the idea of a gut healing porridge. So this has all the foods that are kosher on their list, and also has the healing benefits of chia, psyllium, and flax all at once. I included the psyllium because it's high in soluble fat. If you have problems with psyllium, you can leave it out. But it's basically a porridge that you can do. And I think I had a version of it. I don't know if this one has. Yeah, prunes. I'd included prunes because prunes are really good for healing the gut as long as you don't have insulin problems. They are not supposed to raise your blood sugar, but for some people they may. But the prunes really add to the mix. It makes it really creamy. It makes it sweet, but it also provides some of the soluble fiber that you need to heal. And if you do this every day, this is a really good pudding for you to do. Okay, and it tastes great. And there's so many variations on it. Okay, very high in SCF, short chain fatty acids. Okay, so there's short chain fatty acids. There's medium chain triglycerides, and then there's just, you know, your regular fats. And they have different but therapeutic values. As short chain fatty acids help with your butyrate levels, help with feeding the mucosa cells and lining your gut so that they can thrive and they can reproduce. Very effective, very healing. So I went through the books to see what foods had those. So you're welcome to try my gut healing porridge. Use it with your people. And that's in the remove, the replace, missing enzymes and nutrients. You got to do it. I like to get people on a high raw diet as long as they don't have inflammatory bowel disease or as long as they don't have severe irritable bowel. Sometimes we need to put them on a modified diet where it's a lot of vegetables but lightly cooked so that it breaks the cellulose down a bit so it doesn't cause irritation until they heal. But raw and living foods contain those enzymes. When you eat the foods cooked, it destroys those enzymes. So whenever you eat foods that are cooked or very complex in raw, like something that mixes a lot of nuts and fruits and things like that, you should be taking enzymes with it. The number, it depends. It depends on what you're eating. If you're sitting down to a bowl of broccoli, maybe one digestive enzyme is all you need. But if you're sitting down to a steak and a baked potato and some broccoli, maybe you need three or four. And it's really a matter of you finding it for yourself. How do you feel the best? And then lots and lots of greens, fresh fruits and vegetables. They're nutrient dense. So when you look at calories per nutrient, my God, these foods are the powerhouses. So you want to make sure that they're getting lots of those, that they're getting green juices, sea vegetables, and the algae, the microalgae like Spirella and Spirulina. And they're really nutrient dense. And then we look at the nutritive herbs and supplements as needed, and I'll go through all of the different herbs and supplements that you need to repair. And the repairing your digestive tract lining. Ah, here we have fun. So the mucilaginous herbs and foods, you definitely need that. Therapeutic foods. What I mean by that is foods that have a specific therapeutic value for specific parts of the body. And I have a list in here of which foods affect which areas of the body. So depending on what's going on for your client, you may decide to recommend different foods. The gut healing supplements. We'll show you what those are. B1 and glutamine and some of the others. Zinc. Anti-inflammatory herbs and foods, and that's in doing the repair, there is inflammation. Whether or not you have inflammatory bowel disease like a Crohn's or an ulcerative colitis, there's still inflammation involved with the leaky gut. And so we need to do that. And I've got a couple of gut healing meal replacements. Use of bitters so that you stimulate your digestive, upper digestive, you stimulate your stomach to produce more acid and you stimulate your gallbladder to release more bile so that as the foods are coming down, they're better digested so they don't provide irritation to the lining of your gut that's already messed up. And then carminatives are those lovely ones that dispel gas and decrease the bloating. And I have a chart of those. So I have a chart for each of these. But these are the things that you want to be using to help with your gut repair. Nitric oxide has been shown to stimulate the repair of your gut dramatically. In addition, it helps with the blood vessels to help break those plaques down, make sure you don't grow plaques. It also helps males with their maleness. So it's definitely something that you can take precursors to it, like arginine and citrulline. And there are supplements out there that have arginine and citrulline in them. You can also go with foods that have good amounts in it. So the foods that are good in nitric oxide, which will help to heal your leaky gut, are arugula. It has 100 times more than just about any other food. It's really amazing. Ever since I learned this, I've been addicted to arugula. I just do arugula all the time. Used to be I hardly ever ate arugula. I'm like, really, arugula? And I just started eating it like crazy, and now I eat it just nonstop. It's just so good. Spinach also has good amounts of nitric oxide. Beets, hawthorn extract. And you can actually get hawthorn as a tincture, but if you want to go the food route, go to Mountain Rose Herbs and order some hawthorn berries, the little berries. And you can soak them and put them in things. You can grind them and put them in things. You can eat them as is. They're a little bit bitter, not bitter so much as sour, but they're quite tasty. And then most of your dark green leafies do have some amount of nitric oxide in them. The other nutrient that's really a great antioxidant because it's a precursor to glutathione, great for healing anything that's injured. It's great for autoimmune diseases. It's super for when you're working with detoxing from heavy metals because it increases your glutathione levels. And you can take a supplement of NAC. It's N-acetylcysteine, which is an amino acid. Or you can try increasing, or and you can try increasing your levels of food. I'm always a matter of doing both, right? Maybe you're so depleted you need to take the supplement, but while you're taking the supplement, why not also include the foods? they're not hard foods to include. I include most of these every day. In fact, I just did a smoothie with the red peppers, onion, I had the green onions, and broccoli. I blended it all up together. And so they're easy foods to get. They're yummy, delicious. Lots of great ways to make them. Why don't you make them in significant amounts on a regular basis? And then finally on here, the therapeutic foods that are the arabinogalactans. You can buy a jar of arabinogalactans powdered form and take that 1 teaspoon 3 times a day. Great for healing your leaky gut. But you can also, and you can also include tomatoes, carrots, radishes, echinacea, and reishi. Okay, and reishi is available as an extract or as a whole powdered mushroom. I've never seen them live and raw, but they're very easy to come by. Again, Mountain Rose has them. And you can incorporate them into your smoothies. You can make elixirs with them. We taught you how to do that about a month and a half ago at our Healing Kitchen show. So there's a lot of ways that you can include this. And you can make a gut healing beverage for yourself that you drink every day. And I'm going to share with you a little bit of ideas about how to do that in a little bit. So this is a repeat of the slide I showed earlier, only this one has the chia seeds, because this is herbs and foods. So use this slide. These are all the things that are the mucilaginous. You still want to soothe and heal and rebuild. They're anti-inflammatory. They lubricate. They nourish all your fluids, all your tissues. And they're quite yummy. I have grown quite fond of cinnamon lately. And I love my chia beverages. And I haven't done marshmallow that much, but I love slippery elm. If I overdo it on the spice and I feel it, slippery elm to the rescue, maybe. It's really cool. Plantain, you can find out in your yard. The aloe vera gel is really easy to come by. So all of these are easy to come by. Just gather up some of these demulcents and just make a beverage every day. It doesn't have to be the same beverage every day. Just make beverages that include those, but very specifically. You know, at least one of the mucilaginous chia, flax, slippery elm, or marshmallow. And then add the others to it. And here I've given you some very specific quantities of these things. Okay, glutamine, 2,500 milligrams twice a day, or you could go with like 1,500, 1,700, 3 times a day. It's a lot easier to get people to take things twice a day. Quercetin. Quercetin is a bioflavonoid. It's an anti-inflammatory bioflavonoid, and it inhibits mast cells. Mast cells are those cells within the cell membrane that are producing the arachidonic acid cascade, the inflammatory cascade. There, that's what gets triggers when you have an allergic reaction. And quercetin is 500 milligrams twice a day. N-acetylcysteine, NAC, which I mentioned on the previous slide and gave you some foods, well, this gives you an idea of the amounts that you would need therapeutically for healing your gut, 500 to 1,000 milligrams a day. And what I'm going to tell you is you don't have to do all of these. Pick a handful to do. 3 or 4 of them would be great to start with, right? But you can do them all, but it's expensive and it's a lot. So at least try to get, you know, some of it done. A few of them. Vitamin A is awesome for anything that's got a mucous membrane. It affects the secretory IgA. It affects that layer, that protective layer. We're talking high amounts for this, and we don't want to do that level for all that long. So if you can do a month or two of the vitamin A for 20 to 25,000 I use. I think the RDA is like 5, so it's 4 times as much. But you can do that for a month or two very safely. Vitamin B1 has this amazing, uncanny ability to heal the mucous membrane. And it's not that high a dose. It's a little higher than you would expect or get in a multi. You know, most multis have maybe 50 of B1, but a multi-Bs. But this one has 150, 3 times a day. This is what you need. It's 150 milligrams, 3 times a day to heal that leaky gut. What I would recommend you do when you're working with people, and if you try it on yourself first, if you have these issues, but when you're working with people, is to just go through and get an agreement on, okay, which of these are you going to do? How long are we going to do? Okay, I need you to do it for this period of time. So a lot of people will go on stuff and then it starts to run out, and then they call the doctor like a week or two later and say, oh, well, I ran out of this or I ran out of that. And it's real important not to run out of things unless you've been specifically instructed to go off of it. Through observation or testing, we determine that. Okay. So Yeah, so that's basically what you want to do, and come up with a plan for this. So make a commitment. Buy, a bottle of three or four of these, and make a commitment that you're going to do it for a month, and you're going to reevaluate. And if you're starting to feel better, then I would not stop it at the end of the month. I would continue it and then start to taper it. Same thing when you're working with people. They want to know, oh, I feel better. Should I stop? Well, if you stop, it may just come back. It's too soon, right? So this has the zinc. I mentioned to Yvette zinc, and I told her somewhere in the range of 90 milligrams a day. This is 50 to 80. Arabidopsis, it's a big number. It's 3 grams 3 times a day. But it comes in a big tub. It's powdered. And it's really, really effective at repairing those damaged cells. The nitric oxide don't have a specific amount because you can't take nitric oxide. You sort of have to inspire nitric oxide. You have to tell it when to come in. And I'm not sure exactly the amount, but there's different supplements. There's Neo 40 that has precursors that cause it, and then there's another one that I'm failing to remember the name of. You can also just buy arginine and citrulline, those amino acids. Vitamin E is always good for healing, 400 IUs a day. DHA is not something I would recommend you do unless you've gotten a test, you've gotten like your adrenal stress index test, and found that you indeed need a DHEA, and then we'd have a number based on that test, and then you would take it. Because DHEA, when it's low, it causes aging. When it's low, you age more quickly. You don't repair. We're trying to stimulate healing and repair. And then finally, vitamin C 3 times a day, 1,000. That's the minimum I think anybody should be taking. I like to go to bowel tolerance. Gut repair and healing cleanse. This is what I recommend you do. For several days, up to 5 days, 7 days, whatever you feel comfortable with, is to create a healing cleanse for yourself. And you can do that with your clients. You say, okay, maybe I just want them to do this for 2 days on the weekend, make it easy at first. But you just do some number of days of liquid only to give that gut a rest. It really needs a rest. It really does. Water, chia beverage, green juice, green smoothie, green soup, green powder, protein powder. And then you could add Health Force Nutritionals Earth, which has got a lot of good gut repair nutrients in it. And then slippery elm drinks, which are just, easy to add. And there's a healing broth recipe. So I gave you a healing porridge recipe. Now I'm giving you a healing beverage, a gut healing beverage, and then a healing broth recipe. This is quite yummy, quite simple, but very, very delicious. It's broccoli, zucchini, celery, onion, sweet potato. Or squash, and that's optional. I think I made it without it. And greens, lots of greens and water. And steam them lightly and then blend it with the spices. Quite awesome. Really healing and soothing for your gut. One of the very best ways to heal leaky gut is to actually give it a rest. Don't eat a lot of solid foods. Have some things that are more liquidy, cut back on the harsh fibers just for a while so it can heal. And I've already given you some recipes. I've given you a gut healing porridge. I've given you a gut healing soup, broth recipe, and a gut healing beverage. Now I'd like to talk to you about kind of like meal replacements. So instead of sitting down to a full meal for a couple of days, if you put people on liquid only, you can actually facilitate some healing. And if you can get them to do that for a week to 10 days, you'll facilitate even more healing. So let me talk to you about some of the products I've found and use or have used in the past or present with both my clients and with myself. Some of the products that I've used or have listed on the page are actually really can be considered a meal replacement because they've got protein in them, they've got a lot of nutrients in them, and they've got some kind of fat in them. Others are really powdered mixtures of a variety of different gut healing nutrients that can be used. And if it's going to be a meal replacement, you would use that in conjunction with a protein powder. So some of the more, and I want to use the word loosely, commercial versions of this are from companies that are functional medicine supplement companies. They have a reputation for high quality, and some of them are great, and some of them are just not quite as good as I think they should. So among the more popular ones with a lot of functional medicine doctors are things like MediClear Plus and UltraClear Sustain or Ultra InflamX from Metagenics.
Anyway, those are pretty good products, except that they've got some undesirable ingredients, in my opinion. The new formulation of MediColor Plus appears to be quite good. They've got pea protein and rice protein in it, although it's not a sprouted rice protein, it's just a regular rice protein. But it also has no sweeteners added, which the Ultra Inflamex and the Ultra Color Sustain have both fructose and cane syrup and a couple of other sweeteners, perhaps. I can't keep track of the exact ingredients on a day-by-day basis. They change their formulas quite often. The other thing about the Metagenics ones is that they use folic acid, whereas the MediClear Plus uses the methylfolate. So we do want to avoid things with folic acid. So I took the Metagenics products off this slide, and I'm just looking at the Thorne MediClear Plus is probably the best one on the market for actually a complete meal replacement. My preference is to have people do the powders, the powdered mixes, or individual powdered herbs with the good protein powders like the sprouted rice or the others on here, which we'll talk about in a bit. But it's a really convenient format, and it tastes okay. People have not complained about it when I've put them on programs with the MediClear. Definitely designed to have a lot of the gut healing nutrients in there, as well as some liver support, as well as protein. What you can use instead is use mixtures that contain a lot of the gut healing nutrients, but do not contain the protein, and then you'd have to combine it with a protein powder if you wanted it to be a meal replacement. So some of those are Glutamed RX, and that's a rather pleasant one. It has a nice vanilla taste. It's a little sweet with the stevia. But it's got DGL and arabinogalactans, glutamine, and aloe. Now another one that is a really good formula is Repairvite from Apex Energetics. And that one contains a lot of the same things as the Glutamed. It's got the glutamine and DGL and aloe. So it doesn't have the arabinogalactans, but it also has some other things like some enzymes, lactase, maltase, invertase, amylase, and those are supposed to be the brush border enzymes to help with supporting the breakdown of food in the gut. Marshmallow, slippery elm, the demulcents, remember, MSN, which is a good source of sulfur, gamma arisinol, which is a rice bran oil, Spanish moss, German chamomile, marigold extract, which is also, it's calendula, and calendula. And it's clean, it's just sweetened with a little bit of lohan, which is a good herbal, and no sugar, no anything. Now this would not be a formula that somebody with a lot of sensitivities would want to take because there's so much in it. So there's pluses and minuses, and you're going to have to deal with, you know, each person to see which one you think might be the best formula. If somebody's sensitive to sulfur compounds, well, the Repairvite may not be the way to go. Now, Repairvite also has another one called Repairvite SE, which doesn't have a lot of the sensitive things in it. It's just got zinc, carnosine, and glutamine. Very simple, plus enzymes. So that's another option that you can look at. Another option that I like a lot is from Health Force Nutritionals. It's called Earth. It's very clean, very pure, but again, it's a lot of stuff in it, so you just have to be careful with your highly sensitive people. This one has astragalus, burdock, nettle, marshmallow, carrot, yacon, ginger, dandelion, rhubarb, flax, chia, and milk thistle seeds, red miso, paprika, sage, and chili powder, and that gives it a nice flavor as well. People use this as a little broth. It's also got red clover, slippery elm, watercress, white oak bark, cinnamon, kelp, blessed thistle, and sheep sorrel, as well as some probiotics like Lactobacillus plantarum, Paracaceae, Rhamnosus, Salivarius, and Bulgaris, and then Streptococcus thermophilus. So it's a really nice formula. Plus it has Shilajit, which is extremely high in minerals. Very, very nice, very, very clean product. But again, it's a complex product, so you're going to have to choose who is a good candidate for that. And it's an all whole foods product, which is another thing. No isolated nutrients, as in the others. What you can do with these products, the Glutamed or the Repairvite or the Earth, is combine them with one of the protein powders to get a full meal replacement. So I've shown you a few different protein powders. You certainly may have your own favorites, but among my favorites are Warrior Blend, which is very simple. It's a combination of pea protein, cranberry protein, and hemp protein. There's also Warrior Food, which is a sprouted brown rice protein with hemp protein, and they have a variety of different versions of it with different herbs in it and spirulina and things like that. Then there's a relatively new one called Boku in the Buff Super Protein, which is a Satcha Inchi protein along with cranberry and spirulina. And then another one, which is not listed here, but is starting to come out on the market, is just pure Satcha Inchi protein. And then there's pure pea protein and pure hemp protein. So those are the varieties of different proteins you can have, you can try. And I would encourage you to experiment on your own self with a variety and see what you like. And then know that you're going to have to know these things so that you can make recommendations for different people. They may find that they have a specific aversion to or a like for a specific type of protein. Now, ideally, we get all the protein from food. But realistically, when their gut is in the state of disrepair, like it is with the leaky gut, it's going to be hard to do unless you can get them to do some sort of a juice cleanse with like 2 to 3 quarts or more a day of juices. That would include some sprout juices and maybe some wheatgrass juice and some spirulina and some of the other greens. So that's a way that you can get their protein up. You really have to keep their protein levels up during a gut repair because we're trying to get turnover. We're trying to get the old cells to slough off and the new cells to be able to get built up. And without the proper amount of protein, you can't do it. So now you've got a variety of different meal replacement type things that you can encourage someone to do for the first few days to do at least only the healing gut meal replacements and some of the other liquid type things. So no solids at all going in. And then you can transition them into having some good whole meals that are blended, so cooked meals, cooked vegetables or raw vegetables that have been blended, and you're going to have to feel around for their tolerance level at that point. And then as much as you can get them to do the juices and the green powders is going to make all the difference in the world.
So here's your list of anti-inflammatory herbs, foods, and nutrients. And I would recommend you, if you find that you think your clients are going to get overwhelmed with too much, just pick a few, just pick a handful. Ask them questions about what they like and what their preferences are and just choose it. Because a lot of people just get overwhelmed if they see too many and it seems like too much. But if you gave them a list of 5 and said, okay, I want you to eat these foods every day, or, you know, a group of these foods every day, they would be able to handle it better. So carminative herbs. Carminative herbs are those, like I said, they settle and soothe. They settle the rumbling, the gas, the bloating. They settle and soothe. They reduce gas. They dispel gas. They make the gas go away. They enhance your digestive secretions. And that's what we all want. We want more enzymes to be produced. We want our stomach acid to be up to speed. We want that bile to be squirting out there and getting our fats digested. They also tone your digestive tract, reduce smooth muscle spasms so that your peristalsis is going to be more smooth and even. And it actually does increase the peristalsis. This is a list, and these are some of my very favorite all-time herbs, and so excited that that's what they do. Dill, fennel, ginger, caraway, cinnamon, turmeric, clove, cardamom, chamomile, oregano,
rosemary, and thyme.
So those are some of my favorites. And use them, you know, use them with your discretion. Use them together or use them with other herbs that would match up with them real well. Our last R is reinoculate. We want to put back to normal the flora that's been disrupted. We want to add probiotics in. And you can do probiotics by eating probiotic foods, or you can do it by eating probiotic supplements. Your normal flora is generally a couple of strains most predominant, which are Lactobacillus and Bifidus. Okay? You have much more Lactobacillus than you did as a kid, because as a kid, Bifidus was the most predominant. Saccharomyces boulardii is good for crowding out bad guys. It's like a spore form of a bug, and it's really good, as is L-sporogenes, and I actually think they might be the same, and I use them interchangeably. So you want to feed your normal flora with prebiotics. Everything needs fuel, right? We need to feed ourselves. We need to feed our gut bugs. our good gut bugs. We don't want to feed our bad gut bugs. But the problem is most people go through life every day feeding their bad gut bugs with their sugars and their carbohydrates and their, refined foods. So we want to feed the good stuff. And the way they eat is this one thing called fructooligosaccharides. And they're short chain saccharide, which is sugar, but they're not metabolized by us at all. We can't metabolize them. It just feeds our gut flora. And if we don't have gut flora, it just gets wasted. And inulin is a form of a polysaccharide in foods like chicory, burdock, Jerusalem artichokes. So it's in a number of foods, has a slightly sweet taste, but it doesn't mess up your normal flora. It actually feeds the normal flora so that you can help to crowd it out. So probiotic foods, you can buy or make. This is a sample of a rejuvenative foods out in California. And they have kimchi, which is usually more chunky, sauerkraut, which is more of the fine shred. Then you can also do coconut kefir, which is pretty easy to do with fresh coconut water. Or you just blend up coconut cream with water and you can try it that way. Seed yogurt, you basically make like a seed, nut and seed paste, and you add the probiotics in there and let it sit. And now you have this yogurty, yummy beverage. Then there's kombucha, which is like a tea. It's a fermented tea. Rejuvelac. Rejuvelac is actually wheat berries that have been soaked and then fermented, sprouted, and then fermented. I don't use that anymore, and I know people who still do. I know that Dr. Clement out at the Hippocrates Institute said they don't use it anymore out there because they found that it would turn real easily, and they were concerned about what they were feeding their people. So food sources of the prebiotic: dandelion, wild yam, Jerusalem artichokes, chicory, jicama, burdock, onion, garlic, and yacon. This is a Jerusalem artichoke. They look like little mini potatoes. This is an interesting concept. Is your gut flora making you fat? What research has found is that the ratio between these particular two types of organisms that are part of your normal gut flora,
Firmicutes and Bacteroides,
and there's a section, and I found out about it through Metametrics doing their test. If you look at the ratio between those,
Firmicutes are the fat bugs.
The Bacteroides is the skinny bugs. So you can get them in balance when you restore your flora. So if people are going, well, do I really need to do all this flora work? And what's this digestive stuff? I just wanted to go on a diet.
So now you can explain to them why it's important to get their gut bugs in order for them to be able to get their weight in order. So this has been the Leaky Gut Repair, and we have more protocols for you for the small and large intestine. And some of the things that we're going to go into later will give you some things to think about in terms of the protocols I've explained for leaky gut. And for people who have things like sensitivities to specific carbohydrates, to something called FODMAPs, or who have SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth, some of the things that I've recommended here may not work for them. And you're going to know it. And we'll explain to you when we get to that section how to know. But for now, for the majority of people, the protocols that we just talked about, the herbs, the foods, the recommendations are going to work just beautifully.